We are in our final lesson in this series today from the book Philippians. Glad that you've chosen to be with us today. Glad that you are here. I pray that you've been encouraged and uplifted by the series, by God's Word. We're always going there, always focused there, always trying to glean from His Word what He would have us to know. Before we take a close look at our text today, this is in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, and feel free to open your Bibles there if you would like. You can use the Pew Bibles or your personal copy if you brought one. It'll also be on overhead, at least some main passages we'll be looking at. And before we get into that, I feel compelled to remind you that the Apostle Paul writes these words while imprisoned in Rome. He's in prison. His only crime, as we have shared, is that he refuses to stop telling the world about Jesus. They've tried to get him to stop. They've tried to hush him up. I don't know if they ever offered him any hush money, but they sure threatened him if he didn't stop. And he wouldn't stop. Others who were in his shoes, his sandals, were executed. Not only were they arrested and beaten and mistreated, they died in prison. Yet, rather than being overwhelmed with worry and fear, what he does is he sends a message to believers in Philippi, a message that's been preserved through the ages for us by the Holy Spirit. And it's a message of encouragement. Because though Paul had his struggles, and they were real struggles, he knows that we all have our struggles, personal struggles. And he wants us to know where he finds his source of strength and encourage us to do the same. I'm calling this particular lesson, Forget to Fret, the secret to find lasting peace and joy. And again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9 is what we're going to be specifically focused on today. So pay close attention to the text. And remember, these aren't Pastor Steve's words. I would even go so far as to say these aren't the Apostle Paul's words. These are God's words to us. And he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just in the good days, in the best days, in the happy days, but all days and always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, or right, whatever is pure, lovely, or admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about such things. In verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I have highlighted some phrases. We live in troubled times, do we not? We do. But Paul would say the God of peace can be with us in troubled times. And I don't usually do this, but I'm going to skip ahead a couple of verses. I want you to see something he says in the same chapter in verse 12. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Was Paul in troubled times? Yes. And we are too. So often, if it wasn't for the bad news, there wouldn't be any news at all, would there? Conflicts and violent crime, wildfires and floods, hurricanes and earthquakes. Not to mention what goes on in our personal lives, and we do mention those, don't we? We do share and talk about those things. with others and with God. I know in our church family, in my personal family, among friends, and yes, sometimes in my own life, there are struggles. Family struggles, failing health and marriages, lost jobs, missed opportunities, disease, death, divorce, disappointment. Yet hopefully you notice, and again, particularly with those portions of Paul's letter that I highlighted, he speaks of the peace of God from the God of peace, and that such peace not only can guard our hearts and our minds against worry, it can also enable us to rejoice no matter what our circumstances. Did you get that from what Paul was saying? What the Holy Spirit inspired him to share? I can't help but think that Paul was also doing some self-talk. Reaffirming in his... You ever done that? Reminding yourself of truth. Reminding yourself of what you need to be focused on so that you can go ahead. You can even make it another day. Anybody ever do that? So Paul is talking to them, but as he's doing that, he believes and he speaks. It's also being affirmed in his own heart again. We'll talk more about the need for that, how important that is. Having this peace, this joy in the midst of trouble, though he says it makes no earthly sense. We've talked about this before. He says it passes all understanding. It transcends human reasoning and rationale. It doesn't make sense to the world. Why? Because they see the circumstance hasn't necessarily changed, but there's something about us in that circumstance that they don't understand, they don't comprehend. Why aren't we being broken down? Why aren't we so beat up that we're giving up? What's different? What's going on? Why aren't the circumstances destroying us? How can we have peace and joy in the midst of such devastating times? How can we do that? He says it doesn't make sense to the world. Doesn't make sense to them. So let me preface my next comments with a disclaimer. Are you ready? The recipe for finding peace and joy that I'm about to share with you is not something you can mix up on your own. I'm going to give you some steps, some practical things that Paul shares with the Holy Spirit, but it's not a matter of, well, if I just do these things, you know, that I can manage things, and I'll be okay. Because there are a lot of formulas out there. You can go out there and you can read a lot of books that give you some practical advice about some things you can do, you know, when you're worried or when you're fearful or when you're overcome with anxiety. There's a lot of things like that. And these ingredients that Paul speaks about, they're readily available to anyone, and should make sense to everyone. But what doesn't make sense is that they last and transform and change us in the circumstance. That doesn't make sense because people may find temporary escape, temporary, again, comfort, peace and joy in their trial, their difficulty, but it doesn't last. It's not consistent. It doesn't stay with them. So the ingredients that I'm going to talk about, the formula, if you will, is all about Christ. You with me? We've seen in Philippians from the very beginning, right? As we talked about the affections of Christ, having the mind and attitude of Christ. And again, last week, talking about having this knowledge and acceptance and belief in Christ that He will fill us with hope and help us in circumstances and difficulties. It's all about Christ. And without Christ, see, you might do things, but the result's going to fall far short of the bliss that God wants to be ours. In fact, the recipe, if you will, it begins with a state of mind, an acceptance of the reality of a risen Lord. For, think about it, Paul warns us that we need to understand that this anxiety shouldn't overtake us. And one of the things he says, the very first thing he says is, remember, the Lord is near. That's how he starts this. Yeah, rejoice, yes. Why? The Lord is near. He's near. Now, there are those that think that he's talking about that Jesus was coming soon, that all his struggle and problems and difficulties would be over soon, that's what he's focused on. Now, though Paul, and we've said this before, though Paul and believers in Philippi, the believers in Christ, did believe the Lord was coming very soon in their lifetime. They were convinced of that. I don't think that's what Paul is talking about here. And my personal conviction, understanding of the scripture here, I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about sensing the presence of the Lord. And that presence can calm the most troubled spirit. The psalmist said he comes close to the brokenhearted. Any brokenhearted people here today? Anybody here need the Lord to come close? Anybody need that comfort of his presence? It starts with realizing, hey, he's not some distant God. He is not someone who again, may come someday. He's someone who will come today. He is someone who is here today for me in my struggle today. Yes, it's wonderful to think about the glorious hope of his coming, but the reality of his presence in the now means so much. Doesn't it, dear ones? Doesn't it? The Apostle James tells us if we submit ourselves to him, voluntarily surrendering our messed up lives, that God will draw near to us. He says, you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. He's talking about when he comes again. He's talking about in the now. Paul even encouraged unbelievers to seek God in Acts 17:27 because he said, God's not far from any one of us. He wants you to reach out, seek him, and find him in the now. You see, faith in Christ is the main ingredient here. The very first thing to finding lasting peace and joy is to recognize the risen Lord is present. He is a present reality. Without that understanding, without that belief, without that conviction, as our main staple, can I put it that way? Peace and joy will always be in short supply. Once, however, we acknowledge that presence, that he came to visit us, and he comes to visit us in our affliction, we do what normally we would do when we're alone with a close friend. What do? Talk to them. Communicate with them. So the very next thing he says, remember the Lord's near, he says, so pray. And I would say pray a lot, okay? But pray. He says that, bring your petitions, your requests, prayers before God. Lay your concerns, your worries and fears on the altar. Pour out your heart to him. Peter urges us, cast your cares on him because he genuinely cares for you. Share your heart. Pour out your heart. Paul prayed that the God of hope would fill believers in Rome with all joy and peace as they trusted in him, so they would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. See, that the God of hope would fill them with joy and peace that would overflow in hope. That's my prayer for you today. That whatever you're going through, whatever's going on in your life, whatever conflict you're having, whatever difficulty, whatever struggle, whatever pain, whatever heartache, whatever it is, that God would fill you with his peace and his joy. And it would overflow then, see, with a hope. And he says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So does it make earthly sense? No. It's from God. It's all from him, and it's what he puts in us through his Spirit. May that be so for you today. But I'd advise you, to pray that for yourself, to make that your prayer. Father, fill me. God, fill me with peace and joy right now. You may be saying, you know what, that's the farthest thing from my mind right now. I have no peace. I don't have any peace at all. I can't find peace. I can't rest, God. Joy, are you kidding me? I have no joy within me. I've been robbed of that. I'm full of grief and agony and struggle. Yes, yes, admit that. Confess that before God and then say, fill me with peace and joy. Will he do it? Can he do it? Absolutely. He will. Flushing out those other things. He can do that. So I ask you to ask him for that. See your petition, your prayer. So many times we're saying, God, change my circumstances. God, just change this. Man, stop this. What's going on? Please stop it. Bring it under control. No, bring me under control. Give me the strength, the wisdom, but give me the peace and the joy in the presence of my circumstance. Right now, do that. And don't give up on praying. See, pray a lot. Sometimes we pray and we think it's, again, a one and done. I prayed about that. Didn't make any difference. You know, I prayed and for a moment, you know, I felt a little better. Felt better even in the prayer, you know, a little better, but... Look, things are still the same. Yeah, what are we praying for? What are we, our circumstances to change, or for God to fill us with the peace and the joy in our circumstance? Paul wasn't praying, get me out of prison, Lord! Get me out of here! No, he saw that, even as opportunity, to share the gospel with people in prison. Did you know that? He was anticipating that this is going to turn out where I can even share the Lord with Caesar. That was his desire. And he was willing again to go through the suffering and struggle, praying that, God, you're going to work things out here some way for your glory. And I just give me the peace and the joy and the circumstance and the situation. And I believe God was doing that for him. And he knew it. He was experiencing it. And he's saying, you know what, guys? I found the secret. I've found how to be content in this and find peace and joy even in my difficulty, my tragic circumstances. And he wants to share it. The Holy Spirit motivates him. So, yes, pray, but when you sense peace dissipating again, if you sense fear taking a root once more, what do? Pray some more. What did Paul say to the Thessalonians? Pray without ceasing. Be continually in prayer. What would Jesus say, you know, in his teaching about prayer? He used the widow who was begging a judge for some justice in her life. Be persistent. Don't give up. Keep praying. Paul also says, keep focused. That's not his words. But what he does is he says, think on whatever's pure, lovely, admirable, trustworthy. Concentrate on those things. To keep focused on your problem? No. No. And that's what we're focused on so much of the time, isn't it? That's what we're really keyed in on, is our problem. But he says, no, think on better things, good things. Now, how many would you confess today that could be a struggle to keep our minds from drifting back to our problems, though? You know, maybe we do start, think about some good things. Okay, I got to think about something else. I've got to get my mind somewhere else. But our mind drifts back. It happens. And we, not only difficult, it may be impossible, again, for us to do that in our own strength. Think of what people try to do. Okay, they say, okay, I get that. Get my mind off my troubles, right? Pack them up in the old suitcase and smile, smile, smile. Oh, I'll just do that, right? As the old song says. Some people watch television. They'll binge watch, right? They'll play video games. Anything from solitaire to something else, okay? That's more involved. And some folks, they're just there. They're glued to it, right? And part of the reason is it's escape. It's trying to get away from their present reality. fantasy, or it's something, again, they can concentrate on something else. Some people, you know, get busy with some productive projects that can be therapeutic. We're going to talk about that some more, too. Some say, well, I'm just going to read a good book. I'll find a good book to read. I have people who ask me, say, well, could you recommend a book? Could you recommend a book to read that would help me right now with my troubles? Reading a good book can be helpful, but there's no better book than the good book. It's filled with promises worth revisiting when worries overwhelm us. I want you to listen to some excerpts from the Psalms. Here's some selected verses from Psalm 119. It's a really long psalm. But he says, I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word, O Lord. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. You've given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promises preserve my life. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Now there's more. These are just some select ones, but do you recognize that David found comfort in God's word? Do you recognize that he found peace when his mind was troubled in God's word? Do you recognize that he even found joy? See, his delight in God's word. He was a man after God's own heart. Maybe we would benefit, do you not think, from doing the same, finding these things in his word. I recommend memorizing some key verses. Not your strong point. I hear that a lot. I say, oh, boy, I can't memorize. I cannot memorize. I've tried. It's just not my strong point. I can't memorize. And then you ask them about their favorite topic, whatever it might be, whether it's sports, you know, and you know, oh, who's playing there? You know, what's their stats? And, Or you ask them about a television program that they're really into. You know, well, what about that? It's amazing. Sometimes it's what we're focused on. That even though we might not be trying to memorize it, it becomes written in our mind and hearts. But not your strong point. Well, write them down. Write some down. Carry them in your pocket. Highlight them in your Bible app. I do that. I have some highlighted verses in my Bible app. You know, did you know you could do that? You can do that. You can highlight those, and then it'll bring. Then you just click on your highlighted verses, and there they are. They're right there. A couple of them that I highlighted some time ago, even before I had a Bible app, I highlighted them in my Bible. My mom always said, "Don't write in your Bible." Okay, I'm not writing, Mom. I'm not adding to the word. I'm just highlighting it, or I'm just pointing to it, or I'm making an application or in a margin or something, but highlighting in my Bible. You know, the more that you do that, it becomes highlighted in your heart. It becomes highlighted in your mind. It becomes a highlight for you. It really does. Romans 8:28 has been one of my go-tos. God works all things for the good for those who love him. God, I don't see any good in this. He's not saying this is good. He says he'll work it to good. He'll work it to good. Well, what good? For he has predestined those who love him, who have been called by his purpose, to take on the image of Christ. Be more like Jesus. Did you ever realize and think about that, you know, what you're going through is actually a character building thing? And that the situation, the difficulty, is actually an opportunity for you to learn more about who Christ is. We talked last week about he wanted to have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. Well, none of us want that. But we don't get to be like Christ without that. And then I love 1 John 4, where it says, he who is within you is greater than he's in the world. And so when I'm feeling that those assaults, those attacks, where the devil's wanting to bring back up, you know, these things and say, you can't trust God about this. You're not going to overcome this. Faith overcomes the world, John says in 1 John 5. It gives us power to overcome. And the overcoming isn't always that, you know, the things pass. Because sometimes, can I be honest with you? Dear ones, loved ones, sometimes we have circumstances we have to live with for the rest of our lives. It's a matter, are we going to let them destroy us, define us, or form us? It's about perspective. It really is. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he wrote, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Get it? Focus. And keep focused. Keep focused. Just this week, I gave someone a Bible passage to read and to really mull over, and I said, I want you to pray this passage. And they said, okay, I will. And then within just a short time, they were saying, I'm still overwhelmed. Well, pray it again. Pray it again. Keep thinking on that promise that he will fulfill his purpose for me. He'll get me through this. Ultimately, it might not be until I am in glory with him, but he will get me through this. He will. Finally, Paul talks about being proactive. I mentioned earlier, keeping busy with good projects can be helpful. I use the term therapeutic. I find it rewarding to work with my hands, whether it's routine maintenance in my car or whether it's lawn work or it's repairing broken stuff. It occupies my mind, but it also reminds me that with patience and persistence, progress can be made and some things can be fixed. It's amazing, you know, what you can do when you give it your attention and you work at it. It's amazing. And that can be therapeutic. It can be helpful. Some people, you know, they'll go out and they'll start a new hobby. I've even suggested that to some people. We need to get a good hobby. Occupy your mind. Occupy your hands. Ever heard the expression idle hands or devil's workshop? Well, hands that are busy doing productive things can actually be God's workshop for him to do something in you and through you. And what I've found is when I'm doing those things, it also reminds me of what God can do to maintain me, to make me fruitful, to fix what's broken in my life, that he has that power, that ability, but also that he has the ability to work within me. We talked about that the other week. He's going to complete what he started in me. He's going to complete what he started in you. He's going to do that. We're all unfinished works right now, every one of us. But he is patient, and he is good. And when I'm doing something like that, and I can see some progress, it reminds me of that God, the omnipotent, loving, glorious, gracious God is working on me. And he can do amazing things, even with this lump of clay. And see, my peace comes. And some joy, sometimes even with tears, that God, you're not giving up, are you? Restored hope. And again, what God wants us to do is be busy, not just with stuff, not just our hobbies, our projects, because nothing is more beneficial to produce peace and joy in our lives when we're busy serving God and others. I'm going to suggest to you that the Apostle Paul found joy in writing this to the Philippians. That even in that circumstance, when they were trying to tie his hands and shut his mouth, he was still able to be used by God to encourage others and to serve others and to build up others. And I believe that gave him great joy and fulfillment. How about with you? When you know that God is still using you, still willing to use you as an instrument of his peace and joy in a world that so desperately needs it. In fact, the Apostle Paul would tell the Christ followers in Ephesus that God had created them for good works. Before the foundation of the world, it was in his mind that in Christ Jesus, the new life that he gave them, he would be using them for good works. Works would glorify his name, serving him, serving others. I want you to imagine for just a moment what a difference it would make in the world if we played an active role in fulfilling our prayers for others. If we ask God not just to fix things, but that we ask him to use us as his tools to help people. Not necessarily to fix their problem, but to be as Jesus to them, to help them, to build them up. James 4, verse 17 makes no bones about the fact that faith, if not backed up by action, is as worthless as in assigning an important job to a crew of deadbeats. That's my paraphrase. Basically, he says, our faith without works is dead. Deader than a doornail. Just praying for someone, but not being willing to be a tool of God, an instrument of God to make a difference, he said, it's not very useful. Well, he goes further than that. He says it's worthless. Worthless. So do you want a life of peace and joy today? Me too. I want that. But it doesn't come from a life without problems, without disappointment, without heartache. It comes from a heart that's been filled with the knowledge that we are loved by God, and the reality, the knowledge, the acceptance that His plan for our life will be fulfilled in His time. And nothing, hear me, dear ones, can change that. Believing that, trusting that. Paul would say in Romans 8, I'm convinced neither death or life, angels or demons, the present or the future, or any other powers, not height, depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, Paul, nothing. Nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. Nothing. What are you going through? Hear me. He loves you. He has a plan and purpose for you. Be open to Him to fill you with peace and joy in the midst of that. And so much of that is in believing, see, the Lord is near. And I talk with Him. I communicate with Him. And I know He hears me. I know that. I know He cares. And it comes, again, from concentrating, not just believing in God, but believing Him. Believing what He says is true. Believing what He says He will do, He will do. Do you believe today that He can fill you with peace and joy in your circumstance, in the middle of it? Do you believe that? Then ask for it. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit says, He will give it. He will give it. Makes no earthly sense. People will say, what happened to you? What in the world got into you? Your attitude is different. Your outlook is different. Your focus is different. What in the world has got into you? He has. He's filled me with His peace and His joy. I know you don't understand that, but it's true. And He can fill you with that peace and joy too. In your time, in Christ.